in Lubbock.
Wow.
Because Texas Tech Monday night will be playing for the national championship.
Welcome one, welcome all to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. You are on right now with your boy, I'll be sure. And it is baseball season. That's right. Your favorite college baseball team has been playing for a while now, to be honest. We've been so wrapped up with March Madness and the tournament run on the basketball side that we've kind of taken pause before really diving into baseball. But it's time. It is here. It is ready for us to talk Red Raider baseball. And so with that, I had to bring on the people's champ, that is Jeremy Gillen. What's up, Jerm?
Here we are. Oh, man. Talking baseball, moving up, adjusting gears, Albie. Here we are going from the hardwood to the diamond. And it's just, this is an exciting time because Tech baseball right now is playing hot to trot. And I know it didn't start out that way. And we may have a doubter in the studio. We'll say who. But Tech baseball is looking like giant killers, and they've moved up appropriately.
Okay, first of all, it's only two of us. So, I will say after the early season, right, that the State Farm College Baseball Showdown in Arlington, we didn't look great. Barely beat Michigan. Lost to Auburn. Lost to Arizona. Got whooped by Arizona. So that first start out, it didn't look like a great team. Now, we were already at the beginning of the season, preseason, not predicted to be that great. I think we started out as preseason 20th, 19th in that general area, which, I mean, I say not great, right? Like when I was in school,
we were ranked
at all. That's just amazing, right? So, yeah, but you know, so I was, but I'm our expectations now for the baseball team is this team good enough to go to the College World Series? That's kind of every year we kind of start out season and say, is this team one of the eight best teams in the country? Is this team, or at the very least, is this team one of the 16 best teams in the country as far as being a national seed? And early on, this team did not look like that team, right? But then something happened. After that College Baseball Showdown, they beat Dallas Baptist, beat Kent State, beat Dallas Baptist again. I mean, you got to play Merrimack, so shout out to that. But even after that, you go, you play 23rd ranked Mississippi State, and you win that series. You go to Houston, you play Rice, you sweep them. You beat New Mexico back to back. You beat Iowa, and so now all of a sudden, from that opening weekend, you start building wins, building confidence, figuring out your rotation, figuring out your lineup, figuring out all of this. Then you have the big showdown starting out against your bitter rivals at home to start Big 12 Conference, the number two team in the country, and you win that series off of two walk-offs. Just this, it went from a questionable early in the season to, nah, never mind, Tim Tadlock's that guy. He's that guy, and he's built this team up, and this team is legitimately, once again, a super regional contender, a College World Series contender. They're that good.
Yeah, and if you're anybody but Albie, you're looking at the roster at the beginning of the season, you think, oh, you've got a really good batting lineup, expected lineup. You've got a really good room of pitchers. I just think that it just takes a little bit of time, right? And with baseball, it's the beginning of the season is always a lot about, especially with this kind of, you know, Tim Tadlock always bringing new guys in. It's a lot about filling that space out and getting people more comfortable in their position and confident. And so, yeah, that State Farm College Baseball Showdown, you know, Auburn, that's a tough loss. It was so close, and you know we only lose by one run. That's all it takes. But then you know you go out against Arizona, get blown out. But like you said, you know, really kind of come up, and since then you play really tough teams. You know, you get Dallas Baptist, which is a respectable baseball team. You get Mississippi State, which is really good.
Real quick, not to cut you off, Dallas Baptist is a good program too. Like I kind of ran past them, right? But like I actually that was my mistake. I shouldn't group them with the Kent States and the Merrimacks of the world. Like Dallas Baptist is a program that is consistently in the postseason, one of the best programs in the state of Texas, which is state of Texas is already a gauntlet to begin with. So, I mean, and you beat them twice.
You beat them twice. You don't give them a chance. You know, and you pick up some really good wins, and you know, then it opens up series for the number two team in the country, the one that's like, oh, the team is going to go to the College World Series. They're going to make some noise out here. And I tell you what, the first two games. Now I don't care about that third game.
The third game didn't happen.
The first game didn't happen. We won the series. There's no reason to care. We whatever. You play two out of three rock, paper, scissors. You don't play the third one. No consolation prizes here. You
won. Right. That's right. Actually, shout out to Tim Tadlock saying, you know what? I'm going to Jedi mind trick this. We got guys. They played 10 innings in both games. You know what we're going to do is that we are going to lose so spectacularly that we won't play innings 8 and 9. All right? That's chess right there, ladies and gentlemen.
That's extra rest. That's extra rest. That's good
exactly.
thinking.
You know, hey, you know, Tim Tadlock is thinking three steps ahead of everybody else.
Tim Tadlock's on the fourth dimension. But let you know, this is just, there was two, I mean, excellent games. These are top programs in the nation playing excellent baseball, and how it couldn't end any sweeter than a freaking stealing where the pitcher doesn't even look up. I mean, good grief, that guy's never going to do that pitching. Like, he's consistent. Like, he probably consistently has this ritual. Wilson picks up on it, steals home, guy never even looks up. Then he becomes a national embarrassment for the UT. And then the second one, of course, the walk-off grand slam. Like, that's just storybook. And so it's been a really fun kind of turn of events seeing this team get into full swing, as much as that pains me to say, but feel like this is like they're a full head of steam right now. And they're still taking it out. I mean, they crushed Stephen F. Austin. They're still going.
Yeah. So as we are recording this right now, Texas Tech is actually, no, the game just ended. That they just whooped Stephen F. Austin 13-5 after whooping them 19-1 the game before. Absolutely on fire. And I will say this about that Kurt Wilson walk-off steal that happened in game one. That is coaching. That is 100% coaching of, hey, listen, you see this pitcher? See this pitcher right here? Look how long he has his head down. Look how long he has his head down. Look how long he has his head down. Yeah, next time he does that, we're going to go. And I think a lot has to be called out to J-Bob Thomas, who's the third base coach for Tech. And I give him most of the credit there, right? I give him most of the credit of saying, hey, man, look at that pitcher. Remember what we saw in film? It's go time. Look how long he's going to stay down. All right, next time he does that again, go. And that's what happened, right?
I bet you he got his butt ripped, and he will not be doing that routine again.
Yeah. It's sometimes you got to understand the situation. You got to understand what's going on. I'm a big Astros fan. Luis Garcia, who was our rookie pitcher last year, he is known for having just the world's longest windup when he's pitching, right? He rocks the baby. It's a beautiful windup. I love it. However, when there's a guy on first base, he can no longer do that windup like that because then the base will get stolen each and every time. So he switches it up whenever he has a guy on first base. Now, of course, not as comfortable as he would like, but he doesn't get a base stolen every single time he's up to pitch. And I think the same thing goes for the Texas pitcher as well. Is you got a guy on third, you can't just do that all the time, right? And so I think that's one of the differences you see when it comes to college baseball versus the major leagues, is that these mistakes are going to happen, and that doesn't matter if you're Merrimack or the number 2 team in the nation. These mistakes are going to happen from college players. And I'm just glad that we were able to take advantage of that mistake. And then Kurt Wilson, the grand slam in game two, which to me was just game two was wildly exciting. Like a 16-12 game, instant offense every single time. The bats are hot when it comes to home runs this year for the Texas Tech team. Leading the Big 12 in home runs, I believe. And just this team's on fire. The bats are on fire.
Yeah, you got the Devils 666 here between Coleman, Kelly, and Jace Young with 6 apiece. And then Easton Morrell and Kurt Wilson both have 4. And then down there, it's just, you know, the ability to crank it is just so spread across. Like, I remember, you know, a couple years ago, you're thinking like, okay, you got Cam Warren and stuff like that. You got kind of the 3 main guys. Like, okay, this guy's stepping up. There's a chance here. Really, kind of the depth of this batting order, you can find danger. Like, you have that danger throughout the whole thing. And that's something that makes Texas Tech very dangerous this year. Keep saying dangerous. That makes them a credible, like, when we get into the World Series, this is something that we need, that we've kind of lacked in previous seasons, where it's like when we get cold, we need somebody to step up, but then, oh, you're really relying on these like couple of guys. But now we have a number of dudes who can go out and crank it. And that just, that for me as a Texas Tech fan who's watched this team come up from like when we were in school, Albie, it's just like I feel a lot more comfortable watching this baseball team. Like I said, in that second game, I was like, oh, we're going to get into a shootout here? That's fine with me.
That's fine. Yeah.
I'm not fair. Let's do it. And yeah, sure absolutely. Enough.
Well, I'll say this. So, and one correction, actually, Tech does not lead the Big 12 in home runs. Texas still does. But Tech does lead the Big 12 in RBIs. And I will say this. At the beginning of the season, the lineup was never the concern, in my opinion. It wasn't necessarily the concern of the lineup. It was a concern of the pitching. How good would the pitching be overall? Now, Birdwell has been a godsend. He has been just as good as advertised. And he's just absolutely continued it. But how good has the rest of the lineup been? And I'll say this. So far as the season has started, pretty good. pretty good. I think one good estimation of it against Mississippi State, holding Mississippi State, who also has a really good lineup, to only 2 runs in game 2, right? Holding Dallas Baptist only 3 runs when we played in Dallas, I think was pretty impressive as well. And hell, even in game 1, you hold the Texas Longhorns only 4 runs. They have one of the most potent offenses in the entire country, right? And so now I do think that this pitching staff can be susceptible to giving up a lot of runs at the same time. I mean, you gave up 24 runs in 2 games against Texas in the last 2. And you've had other situations where you have given up runs. But I think the pitching, though, I'll say this, from what I thought the pitching could be, I think it's gotten a lot better as the year has gone on. I think a lot of our pitchers have played really well. Not just Brandon Birdsell, but Colin Clark, I think, has done a really good job. Mason Molina, I think, has done a really good job. And really to have, I mean, that we're talking about those two guys, and those two guys have done an absolutely fantastic job of keeping hits low, right?
Andrew
Morris, another good one. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just depth. I think what we're just really getting at here is the depth of this team is so much deeper than I think we've had in previous years. And no disrespect to those guys on the roster in previous years, but again, Tadlock is just playing this like next level chess that throughout the offseason he's going out and getting dudes. And I think one of the biggest pitfalls of Texas Tech Athletics is the offseason for baseball, because it gets so overshadowed with football, with basketball, you know, it gets so overshadowed with everything else that nobody's really noticing. It takes a lot to go dig up, oh, who's this guy that Tadlock just picked up? And then you'll have that one weird friend is like, this guy's amazing. This XYZ. I'm like, you don't even watch Texas Tech. He's like, yeah, but I know baseball. And so I think Tech, like, it gets overshadowed how much work this coaching staff is doing to build a team like this. When you look in the middle of the season, you're like, holy shit, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah, and it's tough. Like, you got to think, right? Like, for one, because Tech is now at a position as a baseball program to where if you are a junior or a senior, you're going to be drafted into the MLB draft. Like, it's going to happen. And half the sophomores, too, because half the sophomores are of age, right? So of that, because of that, you are liable to have up to 10 players leave for the draft. I mean, if a player is drafted in the first 10 rounds, it's a wrap. Like, just a nice thank you for your time here in Lubbock.
Go get that bag.
You know, exactly. And then rounds 10 through 20 is a crapshoot, right? And so I think that, so because of that, so you have a situation where a quarter or a third of your team could be gone just off of that, not to mention the graduations and the guys that you already knew were going to leave. And then everybody you're trying to recruit, because mind you, the transfer portal is still a thing in baseball, even though luckily Tech players haven't necessarily left, but now you're going to the transfer portal to see, okay, who can I bring in? You're going to high school baseball and seeing who can I bring in, and they don't have, you know, Rivals 247-1 isn't as prevalent on the baseball side of things. So you, guess what? Baseball coaches actually have to do their jobs.
yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's tough, man. It's a lot tougher to follow this and be a part of it. So every year as fans, as media, we're looking at it and saying, all right, what do these guys bring to the table? Because all we really know is Brandon Birdsell. The guy that did last year. What is the next guy going to do? And so, but it's, you know, it's very exciting to see that this team is still where we expect it to be. We are still searching for our first. Well, actually, I take that back. We're not searching for our first national championship anymore, because didn't you hear, Jeremy? We're back-to-back College World Series champs.
Yeah, tremendous output by this team. Just really illustrating the power of this team to get 2 College World Series within the span of a couple days.
Yeah, in one weekend.
Has it ever been done?
For those that don't get it, Kyle Umlong, is that how you pronounce his name? I don't want to even say his name on the pod, to be honest.
I don't care.
But a Texas fan said that after we celebrated a walk-off victory, because apparently that was the first time it's ever happened in baseball history, that Texas Tech won a College World Series. Congratulations to Texas Tech for winning a College World Series championship. So we won that one, then we won again the next day. I will say though, we're bringing him up. It was all in good fun, right? It was that was all in good fun. But We have won a lot of World Series, a lot of national championships this year, Jeremy. The women's basketball team won a national championship in Austin. The men's basketball team won a national championship both times, twice. Once in Lubbock and once in Austin. And now the baseball team has won two national championships. Twice. Year 2022, we have won
five national championships.
Yeah, it's been
great. We're coming for you, Oklahoma State.
Just watch out. Watch out. So now, as we kind of talked a little bit about just Texas Tech and how great this baseball team has been. But I think if you want to be great with your finances, the first thing you got to do is go to Adam Goldman, the franchise coach at franchisecoach.net. What he is here is he is a franchise consultant who is an experienced investor, serial entrepreneur, and franchisee. And what he takes all that experience to become the master franchisor. And what he does is he helps you. So you're somebody, you've worked hard, you've done everything that you can possibly do to accumulate as much money as you can. So it's time to put something that my family can use and be a franchisee. Well, he's your man, Adam Goldman, the franchise coach. And what he does is he helps Red Raiders first and foremost, right? He's already helped 3 Red Raiders this year get franchises of their own, and you could be the next one. So make sure to go to franchisecoach.net and hit up my man Adam Goldman and tell him that Tortillas and Takes sent you. Hopefully Tortillas and Takes can send the Texas Tech baseball team onto another victory, Jeremy. You like that?
Yeah.
We go to Lawrence, Kansas this weekend to play the Kansas Jayhawks. 3-game series against a Kansas team that, let's see, how do I say this nicely? Is the worst damn team in the conference. Was that nice? I don't
say it with your chest. Say it with your chest.
This team is not very good. They're not a good stink. Team. If Kansas can win one of these games, it is a win for them. It is an absolute win for them. They're just not a very good team. This is not the year for them. They came into the season knowing it wasn't going to be the year for them. And currently they've lost 5 straight games. They've lost 7 of their last 8, including losses to Indiana State, to Wichita State, and most recently getting swept by Oklahoma State. And by the time, I mean, I take that back. They just
played today. Yeah.
And
they got that 14-2 win against Wichita State.
Oh, there you go. There you go, Kansas. Shout out to you. Getting a W. It's always good for a team to get confidence right before suffering major defeat. Right?
Yeah.
Get that. So now, let me revert that. They've now won 1 of their last 6 games. Congratulations.
Kansas has been having a hard time winning back-to-back games, which bodes well in Tech's favor, especially with Tech playing so well recently. But I know that the Jayhawks are going to be looking to kind of carry this momentum from the Wichita State win because it was so big into kind of this game. But I mean, you got Tech coming in feeling very fresh. You're going to have Tech a lot of momentum behind this, a lot of excitement behind the program. And of course, you're led by a really good coach. It's probably going to be a very ugly game for Kansas. Now, I don't think that Kansas is impossible to get a win here. But like, I don't think that Tech doesn't feel like they're going to lose a series unless something dramatic happens, right? But yeah, Kansas getting 1 win here, even if it's by the smallest margin possible, is a huge win for that program.
Yeah, I mean, this is baseball. Anybody can beat anybody, right? So I do want to preface that, as I made fun of Kansas immensely, but anybody can beat anybody, so that could happen. But I will give you some stats, Jeremy. The last time Kansas scored 10 runs or more, they lost their next game by 15. The last time Kansas won a game, The last time Kansas scored 10 runs or more, they actually lost 4 straight. The last time Kansas won a game, they lost 5 straight. The last time they scored 10 runs and won a game, they lost the next game by 15. So these trends kind of go in our favor for this weekend. One thing that does go in Kansas's favor is that they're playing at home, right? I mean, this game against Wichita State was their first game at home in a few weeks. And so they are a little bit better at home, but still not much. They're still 9-14 on the season. Still not a very good team.
They're going to have tremendous pitching for this game not to be ugly.
Yeah.
For sure.
I think for Kansas, one win is a series win for them. And I think for Texas Tech, this needs to be a series where you sweep. That's kind of what you're looking at in this series is at Tech, you need a sweep. You need a clean sweep. For Kansas, you're just hoping for one game. You're trying to, and as a coach, you're trying to feel it out. Like, all right, it's 1-1 after three. Maybe this is the game, right? Because other games, it could be 10-0 after one or two, right? Like this is absolutely Texas Tech playing. Yeah, I mean, let's face it. We're playing the worst team. This is Texas Tech football playing Kansas football.
Ooh, careful.
Well, what happened?
Anything can happen.
2021, Texas Tech beat the crap out of Kansas. But then 2019, Kansas was able to, anything could happen, like you said. They were able to
anything can happen. We don't got to talk about it, but yeah, anything can happen. Yeah.
But Matt Wells isn't the baseball coach. So
Texas lost the most recent. So
That's right. So who is somebody from the Kansas Jayhawks that you're really nervous about that we need to watch out for?
I think the shortstop, Maui Ohuna, is kind of their catch-all kind of guy for them. I mean, he's doing most of the hitting. He's getting all the RBIs. He's got a high, he's got a high batting average. He's a really good shortstop for them. And just kind of is that energy player for Kansas. You know, when they've had good games, he's the guy who's showing up and he's the guy who's like getting things going for them. But if he's having a tough night, then it's a tough night for Kansas. And that's where a majority of their just difficulties throughout the season have really kind of spawned from.
Yeah, I mean, Maui Ohuna is kind of their only guy, right? Jonah Ulane, their closer, has been pretty okay for them whenever you give them situations to do anything. I mean, Ryan Vanderhel is also probably their best strikeout pitcher. Actually, he's top 10 in the Big 12 in strikouts this year. So those are
going to count. 38 in the season. It's doing pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, but there's really not a lot of guys we can scream to on the Kansas side that makes us say like, okay, nervousness. You know, this is just not a great team. So, Jeremy, for us to get the sweep, who is one guy that you're excited to see this in this series on the Tech side?
Would it be a sin to say anybody else except Kurt Wilson, who's playing his extremely best baseball in the past couple of games? that or Jace Young. You know, I'm always just like watching Jace Young kind of climb up the draft boards so immediately lately has been exciting to see. And of course, he's taking that with a full head of steam and just really, playing excellent baseball in these past couple of series. So it's for me, it's one of those two guys.
I'm really excited. When we're looking at Jace Young, Ty Coleman, Parker Kelly, like I want to see a home run from all of them. I want to see at least a home run in this series from each one of those three. It'd be cool if maybe Jace Young gets it on Friday, Ty Coleman on Saturday, Parker Kelly on Sunday. Hell, it'd be cool if one of them hits a home run each game, right? And just really goes out there. That just shows the firepower of this team. And we were talking about this team. We're not even getting to like Owen Washburn and Cole Stillwell and Hudson White. Some of the ability that some of these other guys have to really just knock it out of the park there, Easton Morrell. So this team is just absolutely stacked. Absolutely stacked. So it is time, right? Let's get our Fields of Gold bottle, pop it open. What is going to be your prediction for this weekend, Jeremy? How many games we win?
I predict that we do get the sweep. I think that Tech is just playing extremely good baseball right now. And after a good series, I mean, after a comfortable series against Stephen F. Austin, you're going to the worst team in the Big 12. And, if you're Texas Tech, like this is the pad that you need to kind of add more cushion to your ranking, give a little bit more, substance to your overall numbers. And just especially if you can in the regards of like, home runs, RBIs and just pitching well, it's like a really good tune-up game. As we get further down into the conference. And so I predict that we'll get a sweep. I think we're just too well coached and too refreshed after that Stephen F. Austin game. So it's a sweep for me, buddy.
Yeah, as we make predictions, sometimes it's just hard not to predict a sweep. It's just hard not to. Now, I'm not like Kansas could very well win a game. I'm not saying they can't. But it's just when we're looking
at the two teams. It seems foolish.
Yeah,
to say we're not going to get the sweep.
Yeah, Tech is just a much better team. Much better team. Right now, Texas Tech, the 7th ranked team in the country. Quite the big jump. Just last week, we were 16th. But that's what happens when you beat the number 2 team in the country twice. You get that big jump and you prove to everybody that you are one of the best teams in the country. And but you have to keep that up. You got to keep it up. You got to keep going, and you cannot lose even one game to the worst team in the conference. So I agree with you. Texas Tech wins. It's going to be at least one blowout win, but at the very least, it's going to win all three of them in a sweep. So that's it for our first baseball episode of the season. We're going to make sure to have more guests this baseball season as we keep going. But Jeremy, is there anything else you want to say to the people?
Man, two full months of baseball. Two full months of baseball. Then we're going to the College World Series, you guys. Like, sports are still happening. I know basketball is over, but like, baseball is just getting ramped up. And what better way after the loss to get that win against Texas? So it's getting really exciting. It's a lot of good competition coming up, and man, just tune in. Like, I'm ready.
Absolutely. Not only that, Jeremy, you will be leading the softball episodes this season, if that's correct.
Oh, you right about that.
That's right. So we will be paying close attention to softball as well. The ladies are doing a valiant job.
They're doing a job.
I mean, I'll say this. On the softball side, they actually had a pretty good non-conference. Pretty exciting games, but you get into the Big 12 and softball is a gauntlet. Those Oklahoma schools, they're on another level. So it's tough. It's tough when you have to play the greatest home run hitter of all time in your sport, right? In a series, and actually we ain't even played them yet. We just got done playing Oklahoma State, and so it's tough. But I do think that the ladies will be able to pick it up a little bit as we get to play teams that aren't based in Oklahoma. All right. They actually also play Kansas this weekend. So that'll be a fun time as well. But Jeremy, we'll have softball episodes where we'll review the season as we go on. And hopefully when we do play Oklahoma next week, we can just say some prayers and some Hail Marys as we go forward. So for the People's Champ, that is Jeremy Gillen. This is Albie Shore, and you have been listening to Tortillas and Takes podcast. As always, stay wrecked, people.